Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to check it out when you get a chance. I think you'll like it. Getting a lot of good comments from those who have just found it, and especially those of you who have subscribed to my newsletter. Thank you for that. Thanks for joining the 10,000 folks who are part of our list, more than 10,000 actually, now who are receiving the letter every week by email. And so when you get there, if you haven't subscribed already, check it out. And the feature article this week is the 4 levels of professional consciousness. So check that out this week, and you've still got time to get that article. John Baer, too, is our guest and our good friend and original member of our Brain Trust. He's the president of the National Taxpayers Union. John, welcome back to the show.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
Great. It's good to have you back on the show. As always, it's good to have you back from Russia.
Yes.
It's good to not say, welcome back from the Soviet Union. Russia just has such... Russia's just a much more romantic name than the Soviet Union, isn't it?
I would agree with that. And, places like St. Petersburg is a much more romantic name than Leningrad.
Leningrad. That's no kidding. Well, tell us, I want you to do now, first tell us why you were in Russia, and then I want you to tell us about what you find in Russia. I know this is not your first trip, but I want you to give us a little bit of a travelogue about how things were over there.
Sure. First, I was there. There's an organization called the World Taxpayers Associations, and that is a international organization of groups like the National Taxpayers Union and then our counterparts all over the world. And the really exciting part of that story, and I know you were in St. Louis 2 years ago when that conference was held in the United States.
I was.
Is the former Soviet republics that have so many new taxpayer groups popping up in the Ukraine and Belarus and all over former Soviet republics. And it's a very exciting story. And in fact, last year I took a trip to the Ukraine and met with the leader of the taxpayer group down in Odessa for a couple hours, and we had a terrific conversation about the transformation of the Soviet Union and Ukraine versus Russia and all this kind of stuff. But it's exciting to see these former Soviet republics moving forward, and these little groups flowering, and we're doing what we can as a taxpayer group that's been around for a while to help these guys get their feet on the ground and start growing.
Well, now, John, one of the things that I've heard over the last couple of years was that one of the problems Russia had was they didn't have any kind of a tax collection mechanism. And they've been confiscating things instead of taxing people, you know, for 70 years. And now that they're not confiscating anymore, they really don't have a method to tax people. Now, is that incorrect? And if it is, what are the people protesting? What is the level of taxation that they're protesting? That they're trying.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, so much of be it a tax system, be it property rights. Remember when the Soviets turned off the lights and left? There was no private property in the Soviet Union, so all those apartment buildings and, who owns your apartment? And they've had to go through lots of, with every transformation, there's been people who've been unhappy but they've had to create a lot of these things from scratch, including their tax code. really great part of their tax code is because it's so much been so much virgin territory, the Russians, and now it's being followed elsewhere in a number of countries over in the East, the Russians have adopted a flat tax. They had a huge problem with the underground economy, just people simply making the calculation, it's not worth it to go ahead and pay my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And they adopted a flat tax, 13% rate, a very reasonable rate, and so much in their underground economy has left the underground and now started
right
filing
into the
taxes,
daylight.
And their tax revenues have gone way up.
One of the things that Steve Forbes announced about 6 months on the show was about that flat tax. I said, isn't it interesting that the Russians are actually ahead of us in taxation? 22, stay with us. We'll be right back with John Bertu, president of the National Taxpayers Union. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, we're going to be visiting with Rosalind Glickman, and she's going to help us with our thinking. She's going to help us optimize our thinking. And then after that, we're going to be talking with Lois Geller, who's going to be helping us understand the power of thank you as we deal with our customers, which is a topic that I'm very, very fond of talking about. But before we do that, we're going to continue our discussion with our good friend John Bertu, the president of the National Taxpayers Union. And John's just recently returned from Russia, where he was over there for the World Taxpayers Conference. And John, I want to talk just a little bit more about your trip over there. Tell us when I was in St. Louis with you guys 2 years ago, I met some people from that part of the world, from Russia, from the Republic of Georgia, and I was so struck by how excited they were about having this yoke of communism thrown off of them and being able to actually contemplate being entrepreneurs. Are they still excited over there about this?
Oh, absolutely. It's a terrific time. And you and I were talking during the break about a big learning curve. One of the things that they struggle with is just basic understanding of how capitalist economies work. The things that you and I kind of take for granted and learned when we were kids, there's big knowledge gaps. And even running an association, building membership, which is what we talk about at these conferences, how to build bigger groups and more effective groups. Some of the basics we got to explain it to them, how they use direct mail but it's very exciting and
things that
everyone
are sick
is,
in nature for you and me are not for them, is it?
That's absolutely right. But it's an exciting time over there, and in the former Soviet Union and in Eastern Europe, all over. It's sort of like flowers that are just opening up in early spring. And with so much potential and so much beauty, and it's great to see after a long, cold, communist winter.
Can we learn some things over here in the United States? Can we learn some things about from them about tax reform?
Well, I mean, certainly, whoever would have imagined that we'd be saying that we need to copy the Russians' tax system, but they've got a terrific tax system, and we'd be a much better country if we adopted their tax system. Mm-hmm. And that's all you can say about that.
Yeah.
So and that flat tax is now spreading over there. Estonia has a flat tax.
What are the rates over there on the flat tax?
The Russians have a flat tax of 13%. I think it's 15% in Estonia. I'm forgetting the exact rate, but I think it's 15%. But you've got a whole bunch of other countries where Slovakia, I think, it's begun the flat tax, and And you've got two or three other countries where the flat tax is probably going to be instituted before the year is out.
Right.
So the East is now teaching the West about basic economics.
Yeah, it's incredible. Let's bring things back home now and talk about some of the things that are going on here with regard to our tax policy and some of the things that our Congress is trying to accomplish. What are some of the things that are on your radar screen right now?
Well, one of the biggest ones on our radar screen right now is the Medicare prescription drug bill.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is going to be the largest expansion of entitlements since Lyndon Johnson was president. And it comes at a particularly bad time when we've gone back into deficits. This is going to add to the deficits. And
I'm
sorry?
What's the annual cost?
Well, the 10-year projected cost of this bill is $400 billion. Although we strongly believe, and certainly if you look at the history of Medicare, it confirms it, we think it's going to be a lot more expensive. Particularly, I think you'll see a number of businesses who provide coverage for their retirees just drop their coverage.
Right.
Because they can piggyback on government.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, you're going to have a lot of seniors who are going to get worse coverage than they currently have. They're going to be very surprised about that fact. But B, they're going to greatly increase the costs of the federal government and to you and me, the taxpayer. So I think 400 is at the end of the day, we adopt this, we're going to be spending a whole lot more than $400 billion over 10 years or $40 billion a year.
Well, and
of course,
you know,
a lot of folks like Ted Kennedy have said they intend to jack up this program and expand it once it's...
Right. Well, you have to be careful when you argue against this, because there are, as you and I both know, there are some seniors out there that are having to decide whether to have food or have medicine.
Well, I think, you know, our point is, look, 76% of seniors right now have prescription drug coverage. So if, you know, you want to do something to address that problem, let's write a bill to cover the seniors, the low-income seniors who don't have coverage.
Right.
This bill doesn't do that. It makes it universal.
Don't have it. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on to that thought, John. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend, John Beartooth. More to come after these messages. Stay with us. Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend John Beartooth, president of the National Taxpayers Union. John, tell us a little bit about NTU and how we can contact you.
NTU was founded in 1969. We have 350,000 members nationwide. We've got about 90,000 folks, over 90,000 folks on our e-list now, which is free, is my favorite four-letter word. And that e-list, if you'd like to sign up, you can do that, or you can join at our website, which is ntu.org. And the e-list will give you updates on what's going on in Washington, on tax issues, on spending issues, and give you a chance also to contact your member of Congress on critical issues. And, NTU, our general mission is to fight for reform, fight against the big government, fight to reduce taxes for individuals, small businesses, and fight against excessive government or excessive regulation. And we've been doing that, as I said, since 1969. It's a tough fight. We wage that fight at the federal level, at the state level, but we're out there fighting for individuals and fighting for small businesses, so we'd love to have some of your listeners come and join as members or just simply join our e-list.
Check it out, folks, when you get a chance. That's ntu.org. John, let's take a little bit of a tour of the country. you can help me with this. I'm going to name a couple of examples, and you can probably come up with a couple more. Recently, voters in Alabama completely stopped a $1.6, I think it was, billion-dollar tax increase, an unprecedented tax increase, stopped it in its tracks by a 2-to-1 margin. Same margin seemed to get the governor of California recalled because of some of his bad taxation practices and other bad practices that were hurting the regular folks and small business owners. There are some other things that are going on like that around the country and other parts of the country. You know, you can name those if you want to, but basically my question is, are you seeing a shift happening across the country in terms of taxpayers saying, you know what, we want you to have all the money you need, but not one penny more, and if you're not doing that right now, we're going to get you out of office?
Yeah, well, you know, you're absolutely right, Jim. There's been some very clear messages in my home state of Virginia last fall.
Right.
They juxtaposed transportation with sales tax increase, and it got crushed. And the interesting thing is, in all these cases, certainly in Alabama, certainly in Virginia, Seattle just defeated a latte
right.
tax. And of course, as always, proponents of the taxes always try and tie these dollars to the most, something that they think is going to sell politically, either education, kids, or transportation, the things that people care most about.
Mm-hmm.
The latte tax went down big in Seattle. In all these cases, though, the other side, the pro-government side, you know, will outspend our side 4-to-1, 5-to-1, 10-to-1. Even though, you know, that's happening, we're still able to get out our message, and people understand that government in the United States at the federal state level has enough money to do the essential business, and that these politicians, they're telling you they want these extra dollars. Or, you know, if we don't do this, even out in Alabama, you probably saw they said, oh, we're going to have to cancel football and all this kind of mm-hmm. stuff. The people have picked up and got the message that these politicians are going to use these scare stories. But when the tax increases don't happen, they see that they're not cutting these, you know, most essential services. They're not stopping building roads. They're not.
But John, even if it's true, which many times it's not, but even if it's true, in my opinion, if that happens, then the voters are going to be unhappy because they've lost those services, and they're going to look to the people who poorly provided those, and that is the politician that probably needs to be voted out of office and put some new people in there.
Yeah, no,
and
absolutely
run the
right.
Like
they're just not being good fiscal stewards. You know, they are.
Right.
All these states talking about all the money that they don't have. Oh, where you have a big shortfall, revenues are way down. In almost every single state in this nation, the states have collected more revenues this year than almost any other year in their history. Revenues are at a record high.
Right, but they just spent it wrong, and especially back in the 90s, when they thought the big revenues would go on forever. John Beartu, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
John Beartu, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.